MLB, NBA, NHL, NFL, Score Big has all the sports tickets you want at up to 60% off. It's easy to use. I've used it myself. All you got to do is log on to sportsgamblingpodcast.com and click the Score Big icon. Score Big, the lead pipe lock for great game tickets. Sports Gambling Podcast. I am Sean, stacking the money green with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. Ryan, we are literally days away from the Super Bowl, Seattle Seahawks versus the Denver Broncos. How you feeling about the first cold weather Super Bowl in years?
Yeah, well, first, I mean, it worked out well for the NFL. I guess if they were worried about people bitching about the cold weather, because it's two teams that play in the cold weather. So I don't think we can really complain too much, right? I know the Super Bowl is supposed to be for the fans, but maybe this will actually create a scenario where there are more real fans in the stadium.
Now, one of the guys over at the Guy Code blog, actually the executive producer of Guy Code, presented this as an idea. He said, why not, and I've heard other people talk about this, but
Sean,
why
do you mean the Guy Code blog on MTV?
Yeah.
Okay.
Regular contributor. Feel free to check that out. Ryan, why is the Super Bowl not, if we're going to do cold weather Super Bowls, why not make the Super Bowl a home field advantage? Especially if we're talking about adding two extra teams to the wild card, that would give added incentive to the regular season. You wouldn't want to rest your players to get the number one overall for the entire playoffs. It would be unlikely that you'd have a chance to rest your players even in a week 17.
So here's the thing with the Super Bowl. The NFL has created a scenario where, you know, the NBA has All-Star Weekend. The NFL or the MLB has All-Star Weekend. The NFL has the Super Bowl. That's the weekend where the parties happen, all the players come into town. I think that's what's where they screwed up, and I think that's why they'll never approve what you're saying, because they don't really – I agree with you. I think that'd be great. But why wouldn't – I mean, it's – they've made it so it's their big event weekend. They want to cater to the fans and the people not playing in the game, basically. And I think the best way to do that is the way they currently do that. Make it a basically like a destination wedding, right? Like that's essentially what the NFL –
That's the thing. New Jersey isn't a destination. The Meadowlands isn't – I get it's New York City, but
– Sean, stop. Look, before you go down this road any further, most stadiums are not smack dab in the middle of the city. Look, even CenturyLink Field isn't in the part of Seattle you're going to want to go to. But Indy's kind of a unique situation. I've heard a lot of people talk about how, as a parallel to a Super Bowl in a cold weather place, even though it's a dome, that people really enjoyed Indianapolis, but part of the reason they loved it so much is because everything was in like a 12-block radius. So you really felt like it was an event, like everyone was there for this.
Yeah, okay, but so we've had it at Indianapolis. They've had it at other dome. They're going to have
Detroit, it. Detroit, they had it at.
They had it at Detroit. They're gonna have it at the Meadowlands. Give me a city where you imagine them being a Super Bowl contender and them not being able to pull off a great event.
So I agree, but I think this is less about cold weather and more about open stadiums. And the only reason the Giants/Jets got this Super Bowl was 9/11. Because the NFL came out and made a promise, probably a stupid promise at the time, but they basically said, like, look, we're gonna bring a Super Bowl to New York. I'm telling you, that's the only reason this happened.
No,
this has nothing to do with the new stadium.
This has everything to do with them wanting to mix things up. And
it's New York, too. I mean,
and they want the idea of, I think they want to have weather play an element, and they like that idea of it being involved in the game, and they like the idea of potential. They like having another talking point.
Yeah. The problem is, I think it look, it can work. In New York, they have the infrastructure to support it, but you know, some of these other like New England, can they like do they even have enough hotel? You'd have to stay 45 minutes away from this, you know, like New York. At least there's a train directly from the city, literally to the doorstep of the stadium.
Yeah, but they have one in San Diego. San Diego's not a big city.
No, I mean, no. Comparatively. But it's warm. It's nice.
I don't know. It's just...
But, Sean, do you disagree? I mean, look, the NBA Finals or the NBA Finals? The NBA event weekend is the All-Star weekend. That's the weird thing about the NFL is they're big like...
I just think it'd be awesome to have home field advantage
in
the Super Bowl. And 100... it would be a win for the NFL, I think, because you get even more... Listen, they love those Week 17 matchups where there's playoffs bursts on the line. Now with this overall number one hanging in the balance and the idea that, all of a sudden it does make a big difference between being a 3 and a 4 seed because that could play a big part in whether or not you have a home field for the Super Bowl. I just don't see how – I think it would generate a lot more buzz. And,
I love the idea. I'm telling you the NFL's argument and why it won't happen.
No, of course not. Ryan, real
plus,
quick.
Plus, like, Green Bay, like, I'm just saying, like, some of
Green
these
Bay
cities.
Would be awesome.
It would be great. It would be awesome, but where's everyone going to stay? That
gives
stadium,
a fuck?
It's literally in, like,
who
people's
gives a
backyards.
Fuck? Where do they stay for the. You can only fit so many thousands of people in the stadium. Where do they stay now?
It's not. But people go. That's what I'm saying. People go to the Super Bowl location just to go to the parties. It's like NBA weekend.
What kind
not
of
everyone
fucking
goes.
Losers about? It should be about the football.
I mean, look.
Should allow more.
End of the day, we
put
should
away
be.
The flags,
we should stop
put
arguing.
Away the flags.
We should stop arguing about should there be cold weather and just say let's just build a badass stadium in Las Vegas and have the Super Bowl there every year. That's what everyone wants. Why is that not happening? Tell me, there's not a more perfect city to host the Super Bowl. Maybe New Orleans. Like keep New Orleans in the rotation, but like have it be Vegas, New Orleans, and like Miami or something.
Nah,
like
just Vegas.
Just Vegas.
Well, because once sports gambling gets legalized online, you're going to need more of a destination for Las Vegas.
Sean, we should talk about this for a second, because a lot of the reason that these sports are afraid to go into Nevada is this crazy, wacky notion that that's the only place that you can bet on sports, and that's the only way games are going to get fixed. Well, what I find funny about all this concern about game fixing in the United States with like football, the big bet sports, is, and I think I posted something today or yesterday. Tennis, it seems like every month there's a new story about tennis with some sort of shady like fixing going on. I love it. I remember when I first started gambling, I knew this Asian guy, and he would set his alarm at like 3 a.m. to bet European tennis because there are always like ways to tell when there is a fix in or like he would get information. It's crazy. Like, why are we even like tennis is this prestigious, like, you know, nose up tea, drinking tea with your finger out sport. And yet it's the most crooked.
Yeah. And think about it.
It's the easiest to fix. There's one person on each side. You don't have teams to deal with.
And if you are going to fix a game, does it really matter that you're in the same city as you're placing the wager? That's insane. If you're going to fix a game, you're probably going to put the bet in online. The last thing you want is more proof and do it legally. It makes no sense. Oh, you can only fix games that happen in the state of Nevada?
Yeah.
Did that stop Tim Donaghy from fixing games? No. Oh, wait, we're not in the state of Nevada. Therefore, I can't fix the game? It makes no sense. And the only thing they do allow, they allow you to bet I guess they didn't for some period, but they allow you to bet on college basketball, which those guys are making no money and are way more susceptible to being fixed. They would be way easier to get to than professional athletes.
I mean, the piece of the UNLV scandal that really like kind of tips the scales to that something was going on there is that infamous picture of the players in the hot tub with a guy whose nickname was The Fixer. And so I guess that's an argument against it, but it just seems silly. It seems very, very silly. I mean, look, the state of Delaware, or the NCAA told the state of Delaware they're not going to play any March Madness events in their state anymore because they legalized the sports lottery. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Meanwhile, everyone has a bracket, and Warren Buffett is putting up $1 billion writing a service or writing an insurance
policy.
Talking about taking
a gamble.
Well, there is no gamble there of someone hitting a perfect bracket.
I mean,
unless you're autistic, for whatever
sure there
reason,
is.
That really helps.
Sure, there is. What do you think? Quicken's probably paying $50,000 for the insurance. I don't know, a couple hundred grand.
I'll put up $1 billion for a perfect bracket challenge if I'm getting $50,000.
What I love about this is that not only are we way closer to true odds, which I believe is 128 billion to 1, but this is gonna. Everyone in the world should fill out a bracket. How many entries are they going to get?
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
Why wouldn't you fill this out?
Yeah, it's $1 billion. It's enough for me to make a move.
Unbelievable.
Ryan, real quick, NFL considering making the extra points automatic. And then if you don't, if you do decide to go for two, you're knocked down to 6 points.
Sean?
What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are, I've heard... let's just say a dozen interviews with quote-unquote NFL experts, whether ex-players or ex-coaches.
NFL insider Ed Warder.
Yep. These are more like ex-coaches and players. And everyone is up in arms about this. Why change the game? The game's fine. They're not changing the game. They're taking a play that has a statistical probability of 99.96% and removing it. That's all they're doing it. You still get to go for two. I don't know how many athletes were like, or how many ex-players were like, well, what if you want to go for two? No, they thought of that, retard. Like, look, I don't see why not. What are we worried about here? What possibly are we worried about?
Losing. Well, here's a couple things. One.
You can't block kicks anymore because they made it so you have to line up like 10 feet out. You know, like you can't.
All the scoring records that involve kickers, those are thrown way off. Key numbers.
Okay, pointless records we don't care about.
I think more importantly, the part that they're missing is that we should move the two-point conversion from the 2-yard line to the 1-yard line to increase the chances of making a two-point conversion, thereby increasing the odds that people actually go for two. I think I agree with you that the extra points it's a moot point. It doesn't really matter whether or not it's in there. All it does is add on 10 minutes to the game time. So I don't know why the NFL would look to get rid of that. From their standpoint, that's another commercial they can throw in or whatever.
Better idea, Sean.
What?
You create a range. You say, let's just use 30-yard line, for example. So if you score a 1-yard touchdown, you have to kick the extra point from the 30, and vice versa. If you score a 30-yard or greater touchdown, you kick a one.
I don't like that.
Look, the problem is they stole the way that you score from rugby, and yet they left out the most important part. In rugby, when you score, you actually have to touch the ball down, and the point from where you touch the ball down is where you have to kick it from on some plane out of the end zone. So if you score under the uprights, you can kick to straight on. But if you don't, you have to kick it from the outside. I think just get rid of it. Stop trying to overcomplicate it. We don't give a shit about kicker records.
I like the extra.
No, you don't. No,
I like it. You get
why?
You can get a beer. You can go to the bathroom. Check your live betting lines.
Look, I mean, something that's already happening in the real world. Fantasy football. Leagues are starting to eliminate the kicker. Wow. So what's going to follow? Real football. Eliminate the kicker. Or at least this part of their job.
Though.
At least this part of their job.
Okay, Ryan, let's do a little recap here of the championship games. Denver Broncos, 26 points. New England Patriots, 16. Broncos covered the spread pretty easily. Between 5.5 and 4 points.
Yeah.
You went big on the Broncos -4. I said on the podcast, I liked the Patriots getting 7. I liked the Broncos -4. Fortunately, when that 4 appeared late, I didn't take my own advice. Instead, I got sucked into the long odds of the New England Patriots and the over. So went with that with a little parlay action there. Everyone was, I think you were on the over as well, Ryan, or what was your thoughts on the total?
I lean that way. I put in a teaser, a small teaser. I don't know. Just recapping what I picked and what you picked. You had the over, which I agreed with you. I totally agree with you until the game started.
Yeah, and then immediately I was like, no. And I got that sinking pit in my stomach right before kickoff where everyone – I all of a sudden got this sense, this panic that everyone was taking the over. And I was like, ah, no, no. You just like
– It seemed that way.
It's weird because I all of a sudden it's like I listen to a podcast. Yeah, I like the over. It's going to be a high-scoring affair. And then you listen to like three pre-games where they all mention it's going to be a high-scoring affair. And I'm like –
Going to be a track meet.
Oh, fuck. This under's coming in. Yeah. So I knew I was panicked early. I was able to bail myself out a little bit. I took some Patriots when they were down 10-0. I took a little bit of Patriots plus 10.5.
Squeaked in on that one, Sean.
And I was very upset because I think I gave out maybe it was on the podcast or some post.
I got the picks in front of me, Sean, if you want to.
I do as well. One of my bonus picks is over field goal over 45.
Hit that. No covered. Big deal.
Another one I'm pretty sure I talked about in the podcast was Tom Brady over passing yards.
You did on the podcast.
The number I saw early in the week was 270. Loved it. 270.5. Loved it. Unfortunately, when I was able to bet it, it was all the way up to 280.
Wow.
Still took the over because I still like the idea that regardless of the situation, I thought the Patriots were going to be passing a lot. That they did. Unfortunately, Tom Brady overthrew Amendola a couple times and just looked like a worthless piece of garbage. And wouldn't you know it, he had 277 yards. I needed 4 yards to hit the over, 280.5. They're on the 5-yard line going in for the garbage score there. Does he get it via passing, Ryan? No. Tom Brady scrambles in 5 yards for the touchdown and really killed
him. That was a pretty amazing thing to watch. You watch that happen. I mean, it literally was you just needed those 4 yards, right? You lost by 4 yards?
Yeah, and okay, so then Broncos are driving. They end up – then I'm in a position where, okay, if the Broncos kick this late field goal, I'm no longer covering my 10.5 live bet. I get a break. The Broncos go for it on 4th-and-2. There's a minute left on the clock, so Brady will have plenty of time to convert a 4-yard pass. All the Patriots need to do is stop them on 4th-and-2. They got 11 guys in the box, and the Broncos get a 3-yard first down.
Yep.
Crushing defeat, Ryan.
Yeah, what are you going to do? I had Broncos minus 5.5. I said I'd play it up to 6.5. It was pretty bold of me. What was the final score? I guess it would be a 10-point game, a little higher scoring. And my my big prop, which I threw a fair amount of dollars on in the real world, Demaryius Thomas to score a TD.
Yeah.
I thought it was strange that it was only minus 130 on the yes. I just thought he's the guy. Like, he's the guy Peyton throws to. He's the big play guy. He's the big receiver. I don't know. But, yeah, dude, this was a weird game.
Not a fun game to watch. I mean, obviously, I didn't come out great in the early games, but or the early bets. But just as a fan's perspective, no turnovers. It didn't feel like there was a lot of big play. Just the Broncos milking the clock. Patriots had some chances for some big plays. Tom Brady overthrowing guys. And just not that interesting of a game.
Yeah.
Belichick going crazy over Wes Welker's dirty play that the NFL didn't even fine him.
Look, Belichick was just trying to change the conversation to something other than why they sucked. Which he did pretty well. I don't know. I kind of was talking about on the podcast last. I just thought it was like a week where people were overthinking things, and I don't. I in the blog, Sean, I for my trend that I loved, I put Patriots 2-6 against the spread this year. Like I think we were just overthinking it. And it was one of those perfect storms that the professionals love to gather behind, where a team that you don't love that much has a huge win at home and now is traveling on the road. It's like, it's one of those like sell high, right? Like the Patriots are going to get all this public money because everyone, and they got what, 60%, 65%?
Yeah. I mean, the game didn't shake out that crazy for me. I thought they would open it up a little bit more. I was surprised about that.
But
to me, it really came down to those. There were opportunities to take advantage of the Denver secondary, and I'm surprised the Patriots weren't able to do that. Another one that we were all big on prop-wise was LeGarrette Blount under rushing yards, and that got killed.
Yeah, what do you have, like 15?
Yeah, he was came nowhere close to 79. That was a pretty easy one to call as well. All right, Ryan, moving on to the NFC Championship game. Much more exciting. A lot of action back and forth. A physical game. Tons of hitting. Just a fun game to watch, I felt. Obviously, I had the Seahawks, so that made it a little bit easier. My lock of the conference championship was getting the Seahawks down to 2.5. You liked it at -3. Both came in pretty easily there. Although you picked for your pick, you had Seahawks -3, and then the score you predicted was Seahawks 19, 49ers 16. So you're predicting yourself into a push.
But I think I intended to make that. It was supposed to be 23-16.
Yeah,
but. Which was pretty close to the final score.
You had Colin Kaepernick under rushing yards. That didn't work out, but you were big on Marshawn Lynch will score a touchdown. That came in, and I don't know if we talked about it on the pod or Twitter, but Marshawn Lynch over rushing yards, that was also a big one. My bonus pick, Russell Wilson over 20.5 passing yards.
That 200, Sean.
What's up?
200.
Oh, sorry, 200.5.
20 would have been a nice line.
Yeah, but he a couple of big plays really helped him out there. My score prediction, Ryan, Seattle 24, San Francisco 17.
Very close, Sean. Very
one
close.
Point off from nailing it exactly. No love there. Like I said, my lock all day, every day was Seattle, -2.5, however you could get that. It felt like a field goal game to me. That's what it came down to, basically. 23-17 was the final. And Seahawks really turned it on in the second half. They looked good. They got the turnovers. Richard Sherman showed what a horrible thug he was to the entire United States of America, losing his mind on Aaron Andrews. Now, Ryan, this is maybe this is getting a little too meta, but is anyone actually angry at Richard Sherman, or is the media, us, just everyone getting sucked into like the five 49er fans on Twitter who gave him shit, walking around? From the general consensus, from on Twitter, it seemed to me like people weren't really actually mad at Richard Sherman, but still people were reacting to this idea that everyone was mad at him.
Yeah, it's almost like one of those, like it's a huge response, but it was a completely one-sided. Well, that's not true, because I've heard a lot of people, for talk radio's sake, like they've had a lot of people, they've found a lot of people that, for whatever reason, thought he could have done it differently for various reasons, whether it was... You know, his tone or his demeanor, or his language or whatever.
It's nitpicking.
It's like, look, I mean, you're just shocked that you're like, wow, this guy's really arrogant. And then you find out that he's a smart guy, went to Stanford, and then you're intimidated by him. So you have to say something negative. I don't know how else to explain it because it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Look, he's a guy you want to root for. He's a fifth-round draft pick. Allegedly based on the fact that Jim Harbaugh did not say very nice things about him to NFL people prior to the draft when they were both coming to the NFL. That's the reason he hates Jim Harbaugh.
Okay, makes sense.
Which, that's like a dude trying to prevent you from putting food on the table, to quote Latrell Sprewell, or feed your kids. And then he comes in the league, and he dominates. I heard Colin Cowherd say something very intelligent today. And he's like, you know, if you're recruiting kids into college and you partition them out by personality type, you take your smart guys. Ah, you might be a good quarterback. You take your whatever, and you might be a good lineman. You take the cockiest guy on the field, you put him at cornerback because that's the guy who's going to get beat the most by himself. You're on an island more. You're going to get humbled more. So you need the guy that's going to forget that play and move on and just be great. And the guys come in, and he flat out has dominated the league since he came here, and he has every reason to say whatever he wants. And I don't know. It's just funny that people call him a thug. Look, in his response to people calling him a thug on some interview today,
yeah,
he's like, I don't know why people think I'm a thug or a villain. I mean, I know thugs. They wouldn't say I'm a thug. And he's like, look, I don't get why people feel like I'm a villain. I haven't done anything villainous. And it's like, The fact that he used that word, he said oxymoron. Like the dude's got better vocabulary than a lot of the guys holding recorders, probably.
Well, he also had a great line. He goes, "Yeah, I was watching the Sports Center, and they had a hockey game where they dropped the puck, and immediately all the guys throw their gloves down and start beating the crap out of each other. What's more thug than that? They're not calling them thugs because they're these guys from Canada."
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, to me, when you start talking like, oh, this is far-reaching and this is talking about racial things, people, I don't feel like the reaction was really that angry. I think people, you're drunk, you're on Twitter, your team just lost or you just lost money, so you say Richard Sherman's a huge pile of shit, or you use some like language that's obviously not appropriate. But I don't think like walking around or talking to other sports guys – if you think Richard Sherman was totally classless, I'd love to hear from you. Hit us up on Twitter. I just don't see it.
If you have the opinion, now I will say a lot of Niners fans said this, that he's classless. because for some reason the 49er fans like hold themselves in this high regard, which brought me back to a memory, Sean. You remember when we went to the 49ers Ravens game up at the Stick?
Yeah.
We literally, it's probably the closest I've come to seeing a person get stabbed. Yeah. Was in the parking lot after the game.
Yeah, a guy broke a bottle and was threatening to stab everyone. He was a 49ers fan. Yeah. I think they won that game, too. That was the surprising part. I think they beat the Ravens 10-9. Very ugly game.
But back to Richard Sherman, I don't know, man.
Listen, I understand if you're pissed off at – as a 49ers fan and calling them classless. And so, I think that's what I'm saying. I think people are just reacting to this small pocket of people that were fired up and saying, I got death threats on Twitter and blah, 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 and these horrible racial things. It's like, dude, you can't look at internet comments and act like that's the talking points for people.
It's like what Richard Sherman did wasn't okay. Which, by the way, he was mostly yelling because that stadium's really loud. But
he's jacked up on Adderall.
But if whatever he did is not okay, but they literally play Ray Lewis doing his dance on the way in on Sunday Night Football. I mean, you want to talk about like arrogance and classlessness? He's doing a dance where he like thrusts his dick like into the screen at least three times. And he actually almost like probably killed someone.
Yeah, but this is what's great. This is what rivalry games are all about.
Yeah, you hate each other.
Yeah, you talk stuff. When Michael Irvin was carted off the field at Veterans Stadium and people applauded because there was a chance he was paralyzed, that's what sports is all about.
Yeah, yeah.
It's about getting drunk and enjoying this gladiator-type mentality.
Yeah.
And I think he toes the line perfectly well.
I mean, Sean, I remember as a young child, 8 years old, I guess I would have been, when Leonard Marshall hit Joe Montana so hard that, like, it looked like he got buried in the ground. Like, we were cheering as, like, 8-year-olds. Like, we just knocked Joe Montana out of this game. Ugh.
Yeah. It felt great, right?
Matt Barr kicks 5 field goals. Giants onto the Super Bowl. I'm digressing, Sean.
That was a I do remember that game.
But yeah, I don't know. I think that honestly, the last thing about like if Richard Sherman looks like John Lynch, no story. I do think there's some the dread. I'm not gonna say it's a racial element. I think it's the dread element.
Yeah.
People are scared of dreads, and they're scared of people. I truly believe that some of this is that people are scared because they've just found out that Richard Sherman's like this intelligent black dude. I think there's some of that.
But I mean, that people are just reacting.
But I think sometimes you're scared when you don't understand something, and that I think a lot of people are like,
yeah. Maybe
how else do you explain? It's kind of unexplainable. Maybe that's why I'm trying to like reach.
People are reacting to it right after it happened, so I don't think they're a factor in Stanford education.
True, heard two days later, I've heard people say, like, oh, that's just not how you handle yourself. Not how you handle yourself.
I hate that. It's like the whole thing of, like, act like you've been there. The dude, first off, he's never been to the Super Bowl. No one on the Seattle Seahawks has ever been to the Super Bowl. Last time that's happened was the 1990 Bills. Fact of the day there, Ryan. But
no one
get these guys jacked up on adrenaline, We're paying them millions of dollars. They're doing HGH. They're on Adderall. You have the loudest place in the world, and you just made a great play.
Yeah. Sean.
Mean, we go nuts when we hit bets. I've lost my mind when I hit a $100 bet worse than that. I can only imagine if Aaron Andrews put a camera in front of me after I hit that in the 2008 Super Bowl when I hit back-to-back squares in one of the greatest gambling wins of all time.
Who won that game, Sean?
The Giants did, unfortunately. Nice. Well, I had the first half under parlay with the Giants and the second half under parlay with the Giants. And I hit the halftime square and the third quarter square. Unparalleled back-to-back square wins for that game. 7-3 were the numbers.
Yeah, Sean, I remember that was a great year.
But I can only imagine if Aaron Andrews interviewed me in front of a cheering stadium that I ignited. Can you imagine the power you must feel?
Yeah, I mean, look, I get it, Sean. Sometimes the refs feel the brunt of it in our rec basketball league games. And that's just that's not for anything. There's no trophy. Yeah. I'm still gonna yell at those idiots for making bad calls.
Oh, yeah, it's my favorite part. Not to digress too far here, but in our...
are you going to tell a story about me yelling at the refs?
Oh, well, you always yell at the refs.
Oh, no, okay.
And then and then the refs get... I mean, they're these rec league refs who are doing it for $20.
Calm down. I'm just having a dialogue with the guys.
And then they get real petty, and then they immediately just start calling all the calls against us.
I'm just trying to have a dialogue. Open dialogue.
And that's very uncomfortable because I work with these stand-up comedians, and Ryan's like injuring them. And
I haven't really done it in this league, Sean. Relax.
My favorite is there's a guy, handy-capable gentleman, a guy who's in a wheelchair, who's one of the refs, and...
That was maybe the first time I've heard that term.
Handy-capable. Interesting. Well, I don't know how to go about describing him, but his legs don't work. He refs in a wheelchair.
Yep.
And if you thought being in a wheelchair would prevent people from getting into it with him as a ref, you are gravely mistaken, Ryan.
That's pretty funny.
And he... It sounds like I'm doing a bit, but he calls walking all the time. I wish I could make that up, but
that's good.
That's not a bit. The guy calls walking, aka traveling, all the time. Not making it up. But we're getting off the beaten path here, Ryan. Let's take a look at the Super Bowl line, guys. The Super Bowl episode. I think we're planning on having it going live Tuesday.
Yeah.
Of next week. So we'll do just a full breakdown, all the props, everything you guys want to know.
You know what they like to say in the industry, a comprehensive breakdown and look into the stats beneath the stats. God, you ever watch that Numbers Don't Lie show?
No.
They say some, anyway. Yeah. I just love, the props. By then we'll have a full LVH booklet. Yep. We'll be sure to post that on the site, too. It's always fun to print that out, take it to the Super Bowl parties. LVH publishes their PDF, and it's like a 24-page booklet.
Yeah, it's always interesting at work. You're printing out a 24-page document. You're like, whoa, big report? Oh, yeah, you have no idea.
Got to study.
Surrounded by paperwork.
Oh, yeah. So, Sean.
But real quick, I mean, let's just talk about the line and how it's moved so far.
Yeah.
Seattle opened as a one-point favorite.
Two-point
favorite is in some books.
So according to the consensus, it's weird now because now they're saying the consensus open was a pick. I saw a lot of people report that the consensus open was -1.5, -2, Seattle. And, yeah, it's since flipped. It's now Denver -2, 2.5, depending on where you're looking.
I'm seeing Seattle mostly 2.5, but, yeah.
Yeah, I'm seeing it seems to be a so the offshore shops are at 2, and all of Vegas is at 2.5.
Now it seems
Bovada is at 3.
Wow. Okay, that's good news. If you're liking to take Seattle, because I was hearing that.
Well, I think
Seattle may go to 3, but they don't think it'll last long at 3 because they think everyone who or all the sharps that had it at pick. The Broncos will just get the 3 as well.
Well, I think Bovada is a known as a square shop. So I think what this might tell us is that the public is going to bet Denver.
Yeah.
And I got to be honest, I'm a little surprised at the – I thought I thought Seattle minus two, 2.5 was going to be the spread. I didn't see any reason why that wasn't going to be the spread. When it flipped, I was really surprised. But now that we were seeing what's happening, my first instinct was I thought this was one of those syndicate setups where they do some max wagers in enough places to cause the whole market to move, because you can move the market with less money early. So many sites move on air, even though they're not taking action.
Yeah.
So I thought it was one of those things where they're setting up to take Seattle back, and it still could be. They have the public biting on Denver. So, yeah, I don't know. I think for me, as someone who has a future on Seattle and I was thinking about hedging it, I kind of had thrown the – I don't think I'm going to hedge, Sean.
Whoa.
And I think I might put more on Seattle, especially – I just – It's one. I was talking to a guy at work today. I'm like, you know, so I'd say about, what would you say, 5 to 10 times a year, you have like a really strong opinion on a game.
Yeah.
Like you're just like, I kind of understand why the line is where it is, but I just think it's wrong. This is one of those games for me, and it's probably as strong a feeling as I've ever had. Like I'm saying, past 2-3 seasons, and I can't wrap. Sean, I've sat down. I've done all the normal work I do. Looking at like
what your power rankings telling you.
I don't have power rankings, but like I said, I thought Seattle should be favored by 2.5. And I think one interesting thing, without getting too deep into the game, Sean, one interesting thing a lot of people are talking about is, well, look, Peyton struggles a little bit in the wind. I think that could be a negative for Denver. That if right. It's windy, that could be one of those things that hurts Denver a lot more than it hurts Seattle. Well, Sean, I grew up in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
It's never not windy there in the winter. Like, I guarantee you the wind's going to be blowing north of 10, 15, 20 miles an hour. Like, you've been to the Meadowlands. You ever been to a game at the Meadowlands and it hasn't been windy as shit?
Well, no. And, well, that's what they were saying, too, or I've been hearing, is that they think this line is – is factoring in almost 2 points in weather favor of Seattle. So for
really?
Me, if that's what I think that's what one of the pregame podcasts I heard. It might have been one of those Cornegay. I could be totally off here, but I thought he was saying something along the lines of like they're considering like 2 points of weather going towards Seattle. Now,
so
maybe that's off.
So meaning, but regardless if it's off or not, but meaning the line should be 4 or 4.5.
Is yeah, that you, but okay. I think, but again, is this, what kind of line is this? The Super Bowl, there's so much recreational betting going on or you know.
The Super Bowl, you don't make an opinion line, you make a even the money line.
Yeah.
I mean, look, you have to account a little bit for futures, but the futures on Seattle and Denver were so low all year, they're not exposed. They're
the
probably
one guy, had a great line. It's a pregame podcast, but he was talking about, I've taken a lot of action on Denver, but I don't consider any of it sharp. And he goes, yeah, I mean, last night I took a six-figure wager on Denver. So it's funny that he was saying, this guy bet six figures, and he doesn't consider them sharp. Whatever.
Staying with that podcast, one of the other bookmakers that they have on regularly is the dude from The Win. I don't remember his name, but he has an interesting take on that. He's like, I don't consider any money square money, because a guy who doesn't know anything can still bet 250 grand and take me.
Yeah, so that might have been him. But interesting to see what the line ends up shaking out at.
So I guess based on what we've said so far, if you agree with us, and I think Denver's going to be the public team here. I think it's the Peyton Manning thing.
Before we break down and give our picks and why, let's say if you're feeling...
Well, I'm not going to pick the... We're not picking this game yet, Sean.
No, that'll be for the Super Bowl podcast.
But I'll tell you where I think the line's going to go.
Okay.
So the line's 48... Another... I would argue that the over-under opened at 48, because that's where I saw it. But... if we think the public is doing what it's doing and it's only going to get more and more, it sounds like we're both saying if you like Seattle, you should wait. And if you like Denver, you should bet it now.
I don't know, because it sounded like it's going to get closer to pick, actually.
Oh, well, I mean, if the public's hitting Denver now, I mean...
Well, I think they're... Here's what I think is going to happen. And this is piecing together a couple different pieces of information.
I see where you're going already.
It sounds like what's going to happen is it's going to slowly creep up to three. It's going to get at three. It's going to get pounded. And then, like, right, like, the day of, day before, it's going to go back to pick them.
Well, here's another theory that I just thought about. Well, I thought about it earlier, but I just remembered. What if this is just a setup by the bookmakers to get even money on the game? They know they're going to get more Denver money, so they're offering a small discount on Seattle. I think it's safe to assume more recreational people are going to, more people that bet one game a year are going to bet Denver. Would you assume that?
I mean, that's what they say, but yeah.
So if that's the case, this does
I don't really know anyone who doesn't only bets recreationally. But.
I mean, just think about the people that you're going to watch the game with who will just bet one game a year. Like, see, I kind of think, like, Seattle, maybe because we're on the West Coast, like, there's a fair amount of Seahawk support out
yeah,
here.
Yeah, I guess that's what I was getting at.
There's a lot of Bronco support in L.A. too.
But, yeah, and Peyton Manning is kind of annoying, or... There are people that are kind of sick of Peyton Manning.
It could be a love or hate thing. Like, people hate Peyton Manning, so they're going to go for Russell Wilson in the
beast mode. Now you got Richard Sherman that people
and they do have exactly. For. They have enough. So, Sean, there's one defensive player in the top 15 in jersey sales, NFL.
Yep,
Richard Sherman,
number 10.
But yeah, so I mean, I think. So you think I'm stupid for not hedging, not thinking about hedging, Sean?
I mean, I know the numbers involved with your I mean, you got it.
I have a 15-1 bet on Seattle. I basically wagered a two-unit, my normal NFL play, which is a two-unit play. I wagered that on it. I think maybe I'll look to find ways to hedge it back in way of props.
Live betting, too.
Or live betting. So, anyway, I think I'm going to stick with I do think – I see your point, and I think I would have agreed with you that it would get pounded back, but I think even – if that was the case, even Bovada, a lot of people – Bovada is one of the few places that takes U.S. money. So, it would have gotten pounded back. So, maybe it is there to stay, and maybe there will be some movement that way. I just think, you know – Not to break it down at all, but it just I feel similar to as I do to last week. It's just one of those like let's not overthink it. Let's just go with what you've thought all year. But also, I got to be honest, based on my weather report, and I don't know if it's going to be warm, cold, snow, rain, or nothing. It's going to be windy. 47 does seem a tad bit on the high side. I thought that at 48. I think I still think that at 47. I think you look at what Denver's been doing lately, scoring. They're not quite. They haven't been quite putting up zillions of points. I mean,
yeah.
So I don't know. I'm intrigued. I definitely was a little shocked by the initial movement, the way it flipped. But the more that I think about it, the more that maybe the books they do expect to get more Denver money. I don't know. It seems to be a logical explanation.
All right, Ryan. Well, then let's break down the game. Everyone is talking about the Pro Bowl.
Oh,
the new. Unconference Pro Bowl, Team Rice versus Team Sanders. Right now, Jerry Rice's team is catching 1.5. The over-under, 87.5.
Ryan. No, where'd you get that line? Oh, MGM has a lineup. Interesting.
Now is that?
Wait, what was the over-under you said?
87.5. That's right, what I tweeted out.
So I have the updated. Okay. So the World Open was a pick, 82.5 on the over-under. MGM is now offering Team Rice -1.5.
Oh, Team Rice -1.5.
The only site there's a couple sites. Wow, and they're different. So I see one offshore with 82.5 still and -1.5 for Team Sanders. I have another place. MGM has over under 90.5, -1.5 for Rice. Sean, we talk about this.
Wait, you said one book had Sanders -1.5.
Yep.
Wow.
I'd say this, Sean. What do you always do in All-Star games?
Take the dog and the over.
Yep.
87.5. It sounds retarded, but yeah, you want to take the over here. This is going to turn into a flag football game.
Well, it's one of those things, Sean. You don't have to take the over, but don't bet the under. It's one of those situations where you play a side. There's one side to play or no side.
Well, I may, hopefully Team Sanders ends up closing as the dog because I like to support my buddy Nick Foles, who's on Team Sanders. Huh. Although I hate rooting for Deion Sanders. I don't care for him. Speaking of classless.
Interesting.
Jerry Curl is high step and never.
Yeah, Jerry Rice, that's a classy guy.
Classy guy. Looks great in suits. All-around great guy. Amazing work ethic. That's what you want in a Pro Bowl coach.
Yeah, I don't know. Is there much to talk about with the Pro Bowl? I mean, the fact that the Pro Bowl is disinteresting is why the Super Bowl has to remain interesting from an event perspective. I don't know, Sean. Oh, one thing I meant to bring up when we were talking about the Super Bowl.
Yes.
One X factor, and maybe this is the 2 points in the line you were talking about. Peyton Manning is getting advice from Eli on how to play in the stadium.
I thought you were going to say how to play in a big game.
No. Well, that too.
Or in the Super Bowl.
That would have been better, actually. Can we all right, let's edit that out.
You were setting yourself up for a good joke.
I know. I'm just not that funny. So I'm like 90% kidding, but I do think Peyton might at least have a better idea on how to read the winds. Because, I mean, Sean, you...
Ryan, now this is why I live bet the Patriots, and this is why I was surprised there wasn't a turnover.
Oh,
those
my goodness.
Balls coming out of Peyton Manning's hands. Now, listen, obviously, I was kind of annoyed because I'm on the other side of it, but Ryan, you had the Broncos -4. Just, like, if you watch the videotape of Peyton Manning throwing that football and eliminated all the receivers and defensive backs and just saw the ball coming out of his hands, it looked horrible. It looked like that Baltimore game where he couldn't get it down the field, and I don't know. Obviously, New England didn't match up well with their little screen game and the way that they just start blocking defensive backs 10 minutes before the ball gets there. But some of those passes just look like floating ducks. Am I wrong?
Yeah. So he had some throws that did not look good, which would concern me if I'm a Bronco fan because Seattle's defensive backfield is faster, bigger, taller, whatever you want to say.
Much more physical team.
But yeah, you know, it's funny you bring up the whole, you know, pick play deal for Denver because, I mean, it's an interesting breakdown how the refs will call the game because Seattle is seemingly allowed to make a lot of contact when they're guarding receivers, and Denver is usually allowed to make a lot of contact when they're on offense. So it's going to be interesting to see how they call that game.
Well, here's the thing. I think if they call the pass interference and the defensive holding early, I think it's going to be a long day for Seattle. But I'm thinking it's going to be called more the other way. Denver's going to be allowed to run their pick plays, and Seattle's going to be allowed to rough these guys up. They're going to want to put away the laundry for this big game.
Yep,
that's what I'm thinking. I'm going to take a look as part of our Super Bowl preview. Hopefully we can get a hold of the crew assignments and possibly give some insight onto their propensity of calling pass interference, defensive holding, because that, I think, will give you an insight into the directive that they've been given by the NFL.
So I think I was a caller on a LA radio show this afternoon had an interesting point about how this cold weather game, I don't think he actually had any evidence to back this up, but it might be interesting to look. The officials are old, and this cold weather on the old bones, like, they might miss more stuff. And what's the most common thing missed other than offensive holding?
Yeah, defensive.
A little defensive grab. And so he was making the point that he thought that the fact that these old refs are going to be running around, they might miss, you know, a couple percent of the plays. And look, I don't think anyone's going to argue that if the defenses are allowed to be physical, that's a huge advantage for Seattle. And so that's going to be really – I mean, that's going to be where the conspiracy theorists come in and say, you know, basically – the NFL can decide who they want to win this game by how they're going to call it.
Yeah, but from the NFL's point of view, is there a clear winner they have to have? It's not like the NBA.
No.
Where it's like, well, market share and whatever. I think either storyline is a great storyline for the NFL. Either you have the icing on the cake of one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, or you have the dawning of a new era in these young stars and basically the golden boy of the NFL.
Yep.
no problems, well-spoken, quote-unquote, articulate Russell Wilson.
Well, it's interesting,
right? I think
right?
it's a win-win for the NFL.
Because you have basically a team that's Peyton Manning and a couple other guys, but Peyton Manning's the only real celebrity. Eric Decker has a TV show, I guess. And Von Miller's famous for, like, the Wizinator and Ecstasy. But, look, they have Sherman. They have Russell Wilson. They have a very charismatic coach, probably one of the more charismatic coaches in the league.
Beast mode, Skittles.
They have Marshawn Lynch.
But
it's
you
just,
want to talk
how
about
is Skittles not – all right, so here's a bet, Sean. Will Skittles have a commercial during the Super Bowl?
I don't know. They should. You want real quick, all-time greatest imagery haves, Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah.
From what was going down in Buffalo, but, getting arrested with weed and guns. Now it's, like, associated with candy.
Yeah, I mean, Sean, this is actually a bet that someone actually offered to me. And I didn't really think about it. At first I thought it was ridiculous, but he said that he would bet me Peyton Manning would retire if I gave him 4-1. So basically I get that he doesn't retire for laying minus 400.
Hmm.
And at first I was like, would he really, if they won, would he really go out like that?
Well, there was a story.
Yeah.
Adam Schefter floated.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's Adam Schefter floated the story that if at the end of the season, Peyton Manning's going to be examined by a neck doctor.
Yep. And you know where Adam Schefter covered before he got to a national beat writing status?
Neck surgeries.
No, I believe it was the Broncos. I think he actually has ties to that. It's either the Broncos or the Bengals, but I think he actually has ties to the organization. So if he's reporting something about the Broncos, that might be there might be some
truth
there.
I think it'll be tough for Manning to walk away either way, but Elway did it. Elway walked away after his second one.
But Elway was retarded. I mean, at that point, he was retarded from taking so many hits.
But you don't think Manning's beat up?
No, come on. John. Look at how many hits John Elway took over his career compared to Peyton Manning.
Yeah, but just from that neck surgery. I don't know.
Sure,
Peyton Manning doesn't look right to me. All right, Ryan. I think that'll about wrap it up for the Pro Bowl preview.
Last thing, Sean.
Recap. Sure.
So you don't think Peyton sticks around to try to break more records?
Oh, I would say he's not going to retire.
I mean, he's only 7,000 yards behind Brett Favre.
I mean, put it this way.
That's two seasons nowadays. He's got the all-time record.
He is obsessed with the stats. That is something I know about Peyton Manning. He does care very much for the stats. So.
Sean, he's only 17 touchdowns behind. He's not walking away with the opportunity to beat those records.
Yeah. Good call.
Because you know he hates Brett Favre.
Yep. So, yeah, I wouldn't bet that bet. I would just take Broncos' money line because he's not going to retire without winning. So.
What's crazy is Drew Brees is 130 touchdowns behind him. Like,
wow.
Unbelievable. Anyways.
Well, I think that about does it, Ryan, and looking forward to the Super Bowl preview, only days away, and of course, looking forward to the big game. Stay tuned for all our Super Bowl coverage. Follow us on Twitter, @GamblingPodcast. Anything else you want to throw out there, Ryan?
I want to welcome the new Yankee, Masahiro Tanaka, to the United States. Konnichiwa. I'm very excited. This guy's going to be a stud, Sean.
I think his over-under ERA 3.2. What do you say? I think that was a line I heard.
That's crazy. It's a bet over.
Oh, over.
In that division? Like, yeah. In that division, having an ERA of 3.5 means you're a fucking ace. You're an ace. That's a lot of offense. That's a surprising line. I mean, even Sabathia, like, when he had some dominant years, he still had an ERA over 3.2, I think. Anyway.
Good times, Ryan. And,
where else can people check us out, Sean?
iTunes, Stitcher, the whole nine. Thank you guys for tuning in. Oh, Facebook, Twitter, Google.
They should rate and review us too, right?
Rate and review, share everything. We appreciate it. For the Sports Gambling Podcast, I am Sean, stacking the Muddy Green, and he is Ryan.
Konnichiwa.
Kramer, let it ride.